All right, morning, everyone. Today's daf. Oh, sorry about that. today's daf is daf Kuf Zayin in Shabbos. We begin the bottom of Kuf Vav Amud Beis, and we start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues the discussion of trapping, which was the Mishnah that we started with on Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah on Kuf Vav Amud Aleph talked about trapping birds and trapping wild animals, domesticated animals, and the basic idea of the Mishnah prior is that as long as you trap it into a scenario where it's going to be, you don't need to run after it anymore, so that you're going to be chav on the melacha of tzedah. However, if you corral it into an area, but you still need to run after it some more, so that's not going to be the melacha of tzedah, because tzedah means that you're trapping it and to a place where it's totally contained in a confined area. So the deer runs into the house, and somebody alertly, quickly runs over to the door of the house and locks the door. So closes the door, locks the door. So he's going to be chayiv, meaning, as we discussed in the previous Mishnah, bringing a deer into the house would be chayiv. So when you run and you close the door and you trap the animal, so you're going to be chayiv in the melacha of tzedah. Now, lushnayim piturim. Now, if two people close the door, so then it'll be pato, though, going to both be exempt. Why? We discussed this not that long ago, Shtaim Shasur, because two people doing a melacha is pater on Shabbos. Now, that was a machlokus. There's not consensus opinion on that point. However, our Mishnah takes the position of the majority, which is that it is considered pater. Lo yochel echal lenov v'nalu shtaim chayav m'Rabbi Shimon pater. Now, what if the door and the bolt of the door is so heavy that it requires both people to handle that bolt of the door? So the Mishnah brings down, that's the machlokus as well. Shtaim shasua, when you need both of them to do it. So the Tanakhama of our Mishnah says that you're chayiv, and Rabbi Shimon says no, because Rabbi Shimon says any time you have two people involved in a malacha, even if the two people are necessary, you're still going to be pater according to Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara comments, Amar of Yirmiyah Baraba Mashmol, Hatzad Ari B'Shabbos Enu Chayiv Ashiach Nesen Lagur Zaki Shalom. Trapping a lion on Shabbos. Can't imagine that's very safe work. But if you trap a lion on Shabbos, you have to trap it into a base gorzaki shalom. It's a strong pen. Rashi says base mishmar ha'asui lo k'min teva. It's like a box. It's like a chest. Meaning that a lion obviously is a very strong animal, and you're only going to be chai for trapping if you trap it into a container that's strong enough to hold the lion.
The same machlokas with the bread and the bean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Shnaim Shasua? Yeah, what do we gain? What do we gain over here by the discussion of Shnaim Shasua? Yeah,
it was a bread and a bean.
And Achinami. All right, it's a fair point. Maybe it could be that we're setting ourselves up for the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is going to play on two people. Maybe. But you're right, though. In other words, we don't really learn anything new in terms of Shnaim Shasua. It's a repetition of what we learned earlier.
That was for carrying. This is for...
Okay, but conceptually it's the same thing. All right, the Mishnah starts off Yashav Echad al Pesach v'lo miluhu Yashav Hashini miluhu Hashini Chayev. Okay, there's an animal in the house, and one person stands by the door. Now he's not wide enough, meaning the doorway is wide. The doorway is two people wide, so he's not wide enough. So he's going to fill in half the doorway. Okay, animal can still escape, and then comes along a second guy. And he fills up whatever opening is left on the doorway, he fills it up by sitting right by that place. He is going to be chayv. The second person is going to be chayv. Umilu Hasheni chayv. Yashav Rishon ala Pesach umiluhu. Now let's narrow the doorway. Now the doorway is, let's say, one person wide. And along comes the first guy, and he sits in the doorway. And he now is filling up the entire doorway. Umiluhu Vashen v'yashav b'tzido. And along comes the second guy, and he sits not alongside him, but either in front of him or in back of him, either way. In other words, he sits in a situation where he also will be blocking the door, but the first person is also blocking the door. Now, the first guy, he's the one, meaning he's the one who did the act of trapping, and he's going to be chayiv, and the Mishnah makes a big chiddush. Even if the first guy were to get up and walk away, leaving the second guy there, now the second guy is holding that door, meaning holding. He's preventing the animal from leaving. And even though that's true, the second guy is going to be putter. Because when he sat down, the door was already, so to say, closed. The animal is already trapped. So he didn't do anything actively. Now, of course, passively, he's going to be preventing the animal from coming out, but he's not going to be chayev. Halamazda doma lenoel sbeisol l'shomer v'nimtza svi shomer b'socho. It's like you come home, you walk into your house, you close the door, right? You lock the door, and lo and behold, you have an animal in your house. You didn't know there was an animal in your house. It came totally unexpected. So the Mishnah says there's an equivalency between that and the case mentioned just a moment ago, where one person's sitting in the doorway, filling up the doorway, along comes the second person. It's the same. It's the same type of idea. Amar Rabbi Abba, the Gemara quotes, we're on the top of Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav Nechnos Alotzi Portachas Kenafav, Yoshev Mishamro Ad Shetachshach. Okay, hard to imagine such a case. A bird flies under your garment. Now, if it were me, I probably would do anything in my ability to get the bird out of my garment. But, right, correct. He's excited because it's a fresh bird and it just came to him. So the bird flew up under his garment. And so what you can do now is you don't have to do anything. Meaning you don't have to release the bird. In other words, yes, it's true that the bird now is trapped, but you didn't do the act of trapping. The bird, it happened on its own. So it's Yosheva Meshamro Ashtachshach. So what you can do now is you can wait till Shabbos is over. Once Shabbos is over, now you can grab the bird. Now, the Gemara says, okay, but let's take a look back at our Mishnah, the one we just learned. In the Mishnah, what did we describe? We described how the second person is pater. Now, normally in halacha, when we say the word pater, what does that normally mean? Pater means not recommended, not condoned. It's aser, it's prohibited for him to do that. Pater just simply means that he doesn't have to bring a carbon chatas, it's not nisa daraisa. But pater usually means that's not behavior, that's not condoned behavior, it's rabbinically prohibited. So, over here, how can you tell me, look, I understand you didn't actively catch it, but meanwhile, passively came into your garment, and you're sitting there, so, but you shouldn't, because our Mishnah indicates that that's still not going to be recommended behavior. In fact, it's prohibited behavior. So, my love, pater aval aser, lo pater mutter. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Our Mishnah could mean pater or mutter. Now, sorry. That's not the normal pshat of pater. Pater doesn't mean pater umutter. Pater usually means pater aval aser, hachinami mistabra, but the Gemara points out, in our Mishnah, it's a fair interpretation. Why? Because look what the Mishnah does. It creates an equivalency. It says, you know what this case is like? It's like walking into your house and closing the door, and then discovering you have an animal. Now, you can't tell me that that's asamid derabanan. Because what did you do? You went into your house. You closed the door. Activities which are totally fine on Shabbos. So that's what we gain from the Mishnah. Meaning the reason why the Mishnah gave such an equivalency example is to show us that when the Mishnah says the word pater, it means pater umutter. Now, the Gemara is going to go over this again. The Gemara over here is going to start off assuming that our Mishnah means pater umutter. My love pater umutter, lo pater aval aser. So, ha mitiktani sefa halamaza dama lanolos beisol shom of nimsa tzvi shom of besoch mechal de pater umutter shmamina. You see from the fact that the Mishnah makes the equivalency that the Mishnah means pater umutter. Okay, so the Gemara, either version, the Gemara arrives at the conclusion that when our Mishnah talks about that second guy filling up the doorway, not only is it not seida, not only is it not biblically forbidden, it's not even rabbinically forbidden as well. It's totally mutter.
If the first guy leaves after the second guy comes, what happens?
Meaning as far as what? As far as
continuing to block the door.
So the second guy doesn't have to get up. He could stay there.
Right, he comes and sits, and then the first guy leaves to do something. The second guy is not chayav?
Not at all. Not only not chayav, not even asamid the rabbanan. Meaning because, right. Correct. He didn't do it. Now, it happens to be that he's now in a scenario where the animal's trapped, but he didn't do it. So it's totally fine. I'm a Shmuel called Patur de Shabbos Patav Aser. And now Shmuel's going to tell us, look, and this takes us way back to the beginning of the Masechta, where Shmuel says that when every time in Hilchos Shabbos it says Pater, it means Pater Aval Aser. Pater means you're exempt, you're excused. You don't have to bring a Karban Chatos, but it's still Aser Midrabanan. Labar Mehani Klas, there are three exceptions to Pater or Mutter, where even though the Mishnayos of the Braisa uses the word Pater, Pater means Pater or Mutter. Chadaha. So one is going to be our Mishnah. Our Mishnah on the bottom of Kuv Vav Amud Beis, that's example number one. Exception number one, where the Mishnah uses the word Pater, and it means Pater Mutter. Exception number two, V'ida Chamapis Morsa B'Shabbos, squeezing out an abscess on Shabbos. If a person has a pimple, an abscess on Shabbos, to squeeze it out on Shabbos, what do we learn? Actually, what will we learn? Hamapis morsa b'Shabbos. If a person squeezes out the abscess on Shabbos, im lasos lapav. If your intent is to make an opening, chayev. So then you're going to be chayev. Why? Lasos lapav, to make an opening. Basically, you're making a pesach. You're creating an opening on Shabbos so that there will be entrance and exit. So that excuse me, air will go in, pus will go out. So therefore, you're going to be chayev. However, im lo tzimei mena lecha, but if your only intent is just simply to get the lecha out, to get the pus out, pater, you're going to be exempt. And now what we are learning, what Shmuel's teaching us, is exemption over here means pater umutter. Umimayt de pater umutter dinan machashe yad li tol basakotz, because the Mishnah tells us that what you're allowed to do on Shabbos is that you're allowed to take a needle and in order to extract a splinter on Shabbos, and it's not, excuse me, and it's not just that it's not in Issur D'Oraisa, it's Mutter L'Gamri, it's totally permissible. Here also, the extraction of the pus on Shabbos, if all you're doing is just like in the case of the splinter, I want to get the splinter out of my skin, so too if all I'm interested in doing is just extracting the Lecha, so then it would be permissible. V'idach, and then finally, what's the last one? Hatzah nachash b'Shabbos, trapping a snake on Shabbos. The Masasik bo shelo yishachenu pater. The Mishnah says, if you're trapping a snake for one singular purpose, and that is so that the snake does not bite you, so then you're going to be pater. Pater umutter. And again, the Gemara says that this does not just mean that you're exempt. It means that it's mutter. I'm sorry, I skipped a little bit. Im lerefuah chayev. However, if you're doing so for the purpose of refuah, refuah means the medicinal benefit of the snake. You want the venom, whatever the case is, so then you're actually trapping the snake for the snake, so then you're going to be chayv. Umi mai de pater mutter. Now, how do we know that pater over here means pater mutter? Did not. Kofen kara l'ner b'sho shalot ho'chaz b'kara. V'yatzor shal katan v'al akrav shalot tishach. Because we learned that what you're allowed to do is turn a bowl over a scorpion so that the scorpion does not bite you. And the reason why is because it's malacha shein tzrich legufa, meaning all you're doing is just preventing preventing getting bitten from the scorpion, and therefore you're going to be pater on Shabbos, pater umutter. It's going to be totally permissible. Okay, hadra l'chaoreg, that's the end of the 13th parak of Shabbos. I know that went very quickly, primarily because it's two blot of Gemara. And now we continue with the 14th parak of Shabbos. Okay, the Mishnah starts off Shemana Shvatim Hamurim B'Torah. There are 8 Shvatim mentioned in the Torah. Now, you know in Parshas Shmini, so the Torah enumerates for us that there are 8 different Shvatim which are going to be a source of Tumah and Avatumah. Now, Sheretz, there's no good translation for Sheretz. Sheretz is anything low to the ground, right? Lizards, toads, frogs, snakes. But, right, anything low to the ground, it has legs, it doesn't have legs, it crawls, it walks, mice, right, anything low to the ground is called a sheretz, because he's given the name of a sheretz. The Torah tells us that there are 8 different species where if these sheretzim die and all you're left with is just simply the remains, the corpse of the sheretz, so it will be an avatumah, source of tumah, and you will become tameh. Now, the only way to contract tumah from a sheretz is only through maga, only through contact, not through masa, not through carrying, and certainly not through tumas ohel. But nevertheless, though, it's going to still be an avatumah, these sheretzim. Now, these halachas are not specific to Shabbos. In fact, it's Tumah Tahara. It's just very basic Tumah halachas that apply to the Shvatzim. However, it happens to be that these Shvatzim that are enumerated in the Torah are also going to have a unique quality about them vis-a-vis Shabbos, so that they're going to have a specific halacha as regards to Shabbos. What halacha would that be? So our Mishnah teaches us. Shmona Shvatzim Hamurim B'Torah, the eight different Shvatzim that are mentioned in the Torah. By the way, what are they? What are the Shmona Shvatzim? So I bet you that if you open up an art scroll Chumash and you look inside, I bet you he will not translate it. Okay, a lot of our Masara, in terms of what specific animals are, have definitely been affected. We don't have a true Masara in terms of what these animals are. Rabbi, are you... Huh? Yeah, yeah. I mean, even right over here, you get a sneak peek into some of what some of them are. Either way, Arya Kaplan in his Chumash, right? He gives an attempted explanation of what the Shmona Shvatzim actually are. But for our purposes, however, we're going to learn the Gemara more conceptually. We're not going to get into the specifics of what the Shvatzim actually are. Either way, Shmona Shvatzim Amur B'Torah Tzadon V'Achova Bem Chayev. So if I trap them, or if I wound them, so on Shabbos I'm going to be chayiv. Ushar shkatzim v'ramasim achova mem pater. Now when it comes to all other shkatzim v'ramasim, all other creepy crawly bugs, if I wound them, I'm going to be pater. And what if you trap them? Hatzadam latzarech chayiv, shela latzarech pater. If it's for the purpose of the bug, so then I'm going to be chayav. But however, if it's not letzarech, so then I'd be pater. Chayav of shebereshuso hatsadam pater v'achova bem chayav. If you have a wild animal, a bird that's on your property, so if you trap them, you're going to be pater. However, if you wound them, you're going to be chayav. Okay, now let's take this step by step. Okay, a lot of points made here in the Mishnah regarding the wounding and trapping of these small little animals. Okay, why is it that if you trap and wound these Shmona Shvatzim, you're going to be chayev? So let's take a look at Rashi together. Rashi describes, first of all, trapping them. Rashi writes very simply, chayev mishabemino nitzod, because apparently these types of lizards and bugs, whatever they are, so they're coveted. People want them, and so therefore you're going to be chayev for trapping them. And then achova bem chayev. Now this Rashi is important. Let's take a look at this Rashi together. Rashi says achova bem chayev the yesh lehen or kidim afarsh b'gemara. So first of all, what makes these shvatzim unique more than any other shvatzim in the world? So Rashi goes on to explain because they have skin. Reptiles in general don't have skin. Obviously, they have a hide on them. But in other words, a hide that's not differentiated between the rest of the animal. Right? You get a nice earthworm, a nice slug. Right? If you could picture that, you know, holding that in your hand. So the skin that basically you're feeling, right, is basically the same as the body of the animal itself. There's no real differentiation between skin and the body of the animal. These shvatzim that are mentioned in the Torah, so skin and body are differentiated. They have what's called an or. They have some sort of hide to them that's separate from the body. It's a layer, a separate layer. V'hav yalei chabura she'eino chozeres v'hav yalei tolada deshochet. So one explanation that Rashi says is that when you wound the animal, and because the animal has the skin, so that means that a chabura, you're going to be making a wound on an animal, and not just a wound, but a chabur she'eino chozeris, meaning it doesn't just, the blood doesn't simply flow back into the body of the animal, but what the blood does is it coagulates in a certain area. V'havile tolada de shochet, and it is a subcategory of the malacha of shochet. Now let's think about this. Rashi is telling us that when I wound an animal, and we're talking right now about shvatzim, but it's true by any animal, any of the larger animals, as it's true by the Shmona Shvatzim. So when I wound the animal, I'm violating the malacha of shochet. Now, normally when we think about shochet, what do we think about? Correct. Correct. We think about killing the animal, right? The animal's dead. And so over here, the idea that if I wound an animal, that's a subcategory of shochet. Animal's not dead. So it's certainly interesting that this first pshat within Rashi, that what I'm doing over here is that I'm killing the animal by making a wound in the animal. Now, you can give an argument just to explain this first pshat within Rashi. The Gemara says this a couple places, that Malkus, for example, right, when you hit somebody, so it's the beginning of corporal punishment, it's the beginning of death. Meaning that if you hit somebody, you may not kill the person, but it's the process in which you could lead to the death of an individual. So here also, if I'm wound somebody, so it could be the beginning of the process of the death. Also consider the fact that blood now has been extracted from part of the animal. Hadam hu hanefesh. We say regarding blood that blood is a life source. So it could be that, yes, in other words, what Rashi is saying over here speaks to a truth that when there is an extraction of blood, even if it's a little bit of blood, that's going to be a malacha of shechita. By the way, this pshat that Rashi offers, the first pshat, Tosfos believes that this is the only pshat, meaning we're going to see a second pshat within Rashi, and also the truth of the matter is that there's a third pshat, which is not mentioned here in Rashi and Tosfos, that the Rambam talks about. But Tosfos believes that this is the pshat. It's Netilas Neshama, you're taking the life of the animal. Rashi then offers a second pshat, Lishna Achrina, Kev Dishlam, or Nitzbaha or Bidam HaNitzrar Bo Dechayv Mishum Tzaveya. Rashi offers a second pshat, which is that you're coloring the hide. Meaning, if the animal doesn't have a hide on it, so what happens when you wound the animal? Nothing. Meaning, there's no coloration, there's no discoloration of the animal. Mashain came with Ishmael Nishratzim. When you wound the animal, and because the animals have a hide, so therefore there's going to be discoloration of the hide, and consequently, you're over on the malach of Tzoveya. You are coloring on Shabbos. That is Rashi's two explanations of the Gemara.
To Rashi, then, if you hit somebody and you wound them, then it should be the same principle. But it should be tried for murder while they didn't die.
Right.
In other words.
So, in other words, we know. Right. When you make a chabur in a person.
Right.
So that's nezikin. That's
right.
Nezek. That's not.
Right.
Right.
And you say for an animal, it's.
Right.
Like
correct. Correct. It's. In other words, we're going to have to do. To, in other words, if we're going to look at that first pshat within Rashi, we're going to have to separate Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos nezikin. But you're right. In other words, by nezek. It's not, you know, it's not, you're not going to be on trial. It's not a capital crime.
Yeah, but if you leave somebody like odd, what happens?
What's the question?
And the question is it painting or is it the,
What, on Shabbos? So you go with Rashi's two pshatim, meaning that that's Rashi's two explanations. Okay, and the third pshat. Okay, the Rambam writes this in Perashat Mishnayos. You want to see it inside? You can take a look at the Rambam in the back in the Perashat Mishnayos. I'll read it for you. The Rambam writes, "Umiskaven la'afro umaver." Okay. Hamanu bechal avos malachos va'achovel v'niskaven l'mash amarnu hu toladas dash. So the Rambam gives a third possible pshat in the Gemara, and that's a malacha. It's a subcategory of the malacha of dash. Why? Lefishu hu mifarek oso davar umavdilo mechiburo. Because basically, what you're doing is you're extracting something from the area in which it was normally situated in. Meaning, what's the malach of dash? The malach of dash is that I take a kernel and I remove it from the chaff. I extract pressure on the chaff, and basically the out comes the kernel. So here also, if I squeeze on a particular area and the blood comes out, or in this case, I hit the sheretz and the blood comes out. So it's a subcategory of the malach of dash. So now, basically, when all said and done, we have three possibilities in terms of what the malacha of chavala is for a sheretz, and presumably it would also be true by an animal and a human as well. If, according to Rashi, it's either netilas neshama, which is a talada of shechita, or it's salveya, malacha of coloring, or according to the Rambam, a talada of the malacha of dash. Three possibilities. Okay, we ready to go to the Gemara? Sure, let's go to the Gemara. Midiktani achova ba'em chayv mechlad di'islu or. So, it sounds like from our Mishnah that these Shmona Shvatim have a hide. Mantana mar Shmuel Rav Yochan ben Nurihi. So, who is the author of our Mishnah? Such Rav Yochan ben Nuri did not, because we went to Mishnah in Chulin. Rav Yochan ben Nuri Omer Shmona Shvatim Yeshlem Aros, that the eight Shvatim have, or they do have a hide. Now, the Mishnah in Chulin, what's the Mishnah coming to teach us? We know that in general, when you talk about an animal, okay, let's speak in terms of a large animal. The animal dies without a proper shechita, so the animal now is a nevela. Okay, now what does that mean as a nevela? It means that the animal is going to give off tumah. Now, what specifically of the animal is going to give off tumah? Only the basar. The meat of the animal now is going to be an avatumah. The bones, the hide, the horns, the hooves, anything that's not meat, that's not muscle, is not going to give off tumma. It is just simply the basar that's going to give off tumma. Okay, that is a halacha of tumas nevela. When it comes to sheretz, so basically, the story goes as follows: if the skin and the animal are two distinct components, so that means then that when the sheretz is dead, it's only everything under the skin that's going to give off tumma. But the skin itself is not going to give off tumma. The Mishnah in Chulin quotes Rav Yochan ben Nuri, who says that the Shmona Shvatim Yeshlam Aros, that they do have hide. And because they have hide, so that means that only and underneath the hide is going to be the source of tumma. But the hide itself, much like the hide of an animal, is not going to be an avatumma, so too the hide of a sheretz is not going to be an avatumma. That is Rav Yochan ben Nuri's opinion in Chulin. And what the Gemara is assuming is that our Mishnah here in Shabbos, the anonymous first Mishnah of the 14th parak of Shabbos, has to be in compliance with Rav Yochan ben Nuri. It's got to be, because it's those two who basically look at the Shvatim and say that there's basar and there's or. So Rav Yochan ben Nuri, Amar Shmona Shvatim Yeshlam Aros, Rabba, by Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Afilu Tem Rabbanan. And the Gemara then quotes the name of Rav and says, no, you don't have to do that. You don't have to pigeonhole our Mishnah and say that our Mishnah is only going like Rav Yochan ben Nuri. Because Ad Kan Lo Pligi Rabban Aled Rav Yochan ben Nuri Leinyan Tumah Dichtiv Eila Hatim Me'im Lachem LaRabos She'orosem Kibbisaram. Yes, it's true that the Chachamim argue with Rav Yochan ben Nuri, but that's not because of a particular reality. That's because of Gzeiras HaKasuv. That's just simply because the Torah says so, that the sheretz is tameh, both the hide and the actual flesh of these animals. Avalein in Shabbos, Hafilu Rabbanan Moda. But vis-a-vis Shabbos, there is agreement that there, because the animals do have, these animals do have a hide. So therefore, if you're chova b'em, if you make chavala, you're going to be chayev. But the Gemara says, but didn't we learn the following brisa? Hatzad echad mishmona shvatim amurim b'torah chova b'em chayev div Rav Yochan ben Nuri. V'chachamim omrim ein or ela lema shemanu chachamim. Problem is, we have a brisa, and although what Rav was trying to argue is that their machlokus was specific only to chulin and only to hilchas tumah, but meanwhile, we have a brisa, and the brisa over here discusses it, the machlokus between Rav Yochan ben Nuri and the Chachamim, in the context of Shabbos. It says very clearly, Shmona Shvatim Amurim b'Torah Achova b'hem Chayiv. We're talking about the malacha of Chavala. So, and now, Rav Yochan ben Nuri's position is very clear. What do the Chachamim say? Ein or ela lemash emanu Chachamim. Well, you know what's or, you know what has a hide? Only those that the rabbis enumerated. So, Adarabba, Lamash Manu Chachamim Ein Lam Or. So the Gemara says, first of all, I don't even understand that pshat. What does that mean? Meaning that which the rabbis counted don't even have a hide. Va'am Rabbi Hachi Kamar. So the Abaye gives one pshat within the Braisa. This is what he thinks is pshat in the Braisa. Ein or chaluk mi basar el lamashlo manu chachamim. When sorry, hide and flesh of such animals are only by those which the chachamim counted. Amalei Rabba halamashlo manu chachamim kamar. That's not what the Braisa says. It's not what the rabbis didn't count. The Braisa says that it's that which the rabbis did count. El Amar Rava, the Gemara gives a second attempt shot of the Braisa. Hachi Kamar. Einor mitamika basar el lamashim anu chachamim. That the hide and the skin are both going to be mitame only for those animals which were enumerated by the chachamim. So the Gemara says, Mechlad Rav Yochman nori hanach nami delow. The Gemara says, well, that makes it sound like Rav Yochanan Nori is arguing, and his position is, even that which the rabbis didn't count is going to be metamim. Rav Yochanan Nori, now Rav Yochanan Nori says unilaterally, all these shratzim, there's a differentiation between hide and flesh, and the flesh gives off tuma, and the hide does not give off tuma. So, elam rav ada bramasta tritz hachi. So the Gemara gives now a third possible pshat within the brisa. V'chachamim omrim le'in in tuma, ein or l'mashamanu chachamim. That vis-a-vis tuma, the only ones that have hide are only those which are mentioned by the chachamim. So in other words, basically, that when the Chachamim are arguing in that Braisa that we just quoted, it was not specific to Shabbos, because there is no disagreement by Shabbos, it is only specific to Tumah. Okay? So the Gemara is still maintaining that vis-a-vis Shabbos, this is the defense of Rav, vis-a-vis Shabbos, there's no debate between Rav Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim. They both agree that the Shmona Shratzim have a hide, and therefore if I do Chavala by any of the Shmona Shratzim, you're going to be chai for the Malacha of Chovel. And the Gemara now is still defending Rav. The Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, "What about the following brisa? Hatzad echad micheshu ratzim hamurim b'tora ha'chova b'hem chayev b'shratzim sheyesh lahen oros sherets that have a hide ve'ezu chabur she'enu chozeres. What's the description of a wound that doesn't come back? Nitzar hadam alfa pishalo yatsa. It means that when you hit the animal." Or in this case, the sherets, the blood coagulates to a certain area and doesn't just simply dissipate and go back into the bloodstream. Alpha Pishalo Yatza. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Cheshratzim Yeshlam Oros, and Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says that the Shmona Shratzim all have hides. So Amr Avashi Mantanakama. So again, it sounds like from this Braisa that there's a debate between the Tanakama and Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Not just vis-a-vis Chulin and the halachas of Tumas Nevela, or in this case Tumas Sheretz, but also vis-a-vis Shabbos as well. Amar Rav Ashi, Man Tanakama, Reb Yehuda. So the Gemara says, no. The Tanakama over here is not just the general Chachamim's viewpoint, but rather it's one Tana's viewpoint, and specifically the Tana is Reb Yehuda. The Azal Basar Gishasa. What Rav Yehuda does is he actually gauges. He gauges the thickness of the hide, and he says based on the thickness of a particular hide, whether or not the hide is going to be considered a hide. Did none, and how do I know this? The Gemara quotes another Mishnah over there in in Chulin. Rav Yehuda Omer, halata'a kuchulada, that the halta'a, one of the eshratzim, is like a chulada. It's like a weasel, meaning that just like a weasel has a hide, so too the halta has a hide. Meaning that because their hides of these particular animals are so thick, so therefore they're going to be a hide. But some of the other of the Shmona Shratzim who don't have as thick a hide, it's not going to be considered a hide. Avar Rabban de Pliga Ledra of Yochanan, Linyan Tumah, Linyan Shabbos Modilei. But that's only Rav Yehuda. The Chachamim, however, agree with Rav Yochanan ben Nuri that vis-a-vis Shabbos, they're all considered like they have hides, and therefore, if I have Mechovel, any one of the Shmona Shorts, I'm going to be Chayev. One last point of the Gemara. Ihachi, hai divrei Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, divrei Rav Yochanan machlukaso mi ba'elei. So, okay. So why then does it say these are the words of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri when meanwhile, vis-a-vis Shabbos, it's Rav Yochanan ben Nuri and all the Chachamim who agree with Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. So the Gemara said, gives a very simple answer. Tani, correct. Next time you teach the Braisa, Div Rav Yochanan ben Nuri umach lukaso. So that's what you're going to say. It's Rav Yochanan ben Nuri and all those who agree with it. Okay, summary. Our first Mishnah here in Shabbos tells us that there are eight shrutzim where if I wound the eight shrutzim, you're going to be chayef for the malacha of chovel. Why are you going to be chayef for them? What is the malacha of chovel? What is that? So I offer three pshatim. Two found within Rashi and one within the Rambam. Either it's A, Nitzos Neshama, B, Tzoveya, or three, the malacha of dash. Is there disagreement on our Mishnah? So that is subject to a disagreement, meaning that it's the opinion of excuse me, the opinion of Shmuel is that our Mishnah over here only subscribes to the viewpoint of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri mentioned in the Mishnah in Chulin, because the Mishnah in Chulin talks about how by these particular animals, by the Shemoneh Shratzim, hides and flesh are dissimilar, are two separate entities. So that's Rav Yochanan ben Nuri over there. Over here, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri is going to be our Mishnah. But the Chachamim would disagree. That's Shmuel's position. Rav's position is no. Our Mishnah goes l'kuleyam according to everybody. Meaning both Rav Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim, despite the fact that they argue in the Mishnah in Chulin, do not disagree over here by our Mishnah, and agree that if I do Chavala on any of the Eishratzim, you're going to be Chayev. Why do they disagree over there as opposed to agree over here? So Rav went on to explain, because over there, they're not arguing over the Metzias, meaning the reality is that the Shemoneh Shratzim do have a hide. There, they're arguing over what the Gzeres HaKosef is, what the Torah is trying to teach us regarding Tumah. The Torah says, Elu HaTameim Lachem, that the Oroseim Kibisaram, that the Oro is like the Basar. The Torah is not telling us a reality, the Torah is just simply telling us a Halacha, that the hide and the flesh of those animals are the same. But vis-a-vis Shabbos, we look at the reality. The reality is that when you wound the animal, the blood coagulates into a certain area, and so therefore you're violating the malacha of Chovel. Good, we go on in the Gemara. Bamine Levi Merebi. Minayin lechabura she'eino chozeres. How do I know that a wound is not chozer? It's irreversible damage. Dechsev hayahapoch kushi oro v'namer chabubarosav. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says you can't change the color of a kushi, nor can you take the spots off of a leopard. So my chabubarosav ilemedikai rikme. Now, as far as a leopard is concerned, what do you think the pshat is? You think we're really talking about the spots of a leopard? Hay v'namer. I'm sorry. Haiva namer chabubarosav namer gavani mi baile. In other words, the word chababara is not really the appropriate word. It should talk about the spots of the leopard. Ela kikushima oro de kushia nechozeres av chabura inochozeres. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu was telling us that basically, just like a kushi's color cannot be changed, neither can a chabura on an individual come back as well. Okay, not 100% sure, meaning on a human. In other words, you make a chabur in a person, eventually it'll heal. So I guess the idea is that because it takes so much time to heal, it's ki'ilu, it's as if it's permanent. Okay, maybe. Ushar shkartim ha horgan chayev. Now, very interesting gemara coming up. This is going to be definitely good, makes for good discussion. If I kill any of these animals, you're going to be chayev. Right? In other words, by Shar Shkatzim or Ramasim, if you make a chabal on the animals, you're not going to be chayiv because they don't have a hide, and so there's no coagulation of the blood, and so you're not going to be chayiv. But what's very clear from the Mishnah is that if I go beyond making just a little chabala, if I kill these animals, you're going to be chayiv. So, Mantanam Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Lazar, he did Tanya Rabbi Lazar, Omer Harikina B'Shabbos, Kare Gamal B'Shabbos. Killing lice on Shabbos is no different than killing a camel on Shabbos. Now, we didn't have to use the example of camel. We could have used the example of anything, but just the contrast between a louse and a camel, it's a nice contrast in the animal world. But the basic point is that just like we all intuitively know, you kill an animal on Shabbos, a camel. Okay, so you violate the malacha on Shabbos, of shechita. So too, when you kill a louse, even though it's a very small creature, you're going to be chayav for an itilas neshama. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. So maskala Rabbi Yosef Adka lo pligi Rabbanala de Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Kina. Now, if we're saying that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, what is that telling us? It's telling us that that's his opinion. Not everyone agrees to his opinion. And the Chachamim would disagree, and they would say that if I kill a louse on Shabbos, it's fine. Or at least it's not a malacha. So the Gemara says that, yes, it's true the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Eliezer. But that's only vis-a-vis a kina, a louse. De'eno para urava. Aval shar shkatzim v'ramasim depan v'ravim. Lo pligi. So the Gemara now is going to say something very interesting. I know this always opens itself up to a lot of controversy, but I'll avoid the controversy. In fact, I'll do better than that. I'll ignore the controversy, and I'll just simply say the Gemara kipshuta. The Gemara basically says like this: when it comes to a louse, so the louse, the Gemara says, does not reproduce sexually. Doesn't go through regular sexual reproduction, but it's basically what the Gemara refers to as asexual reproduction. Okay? It's eno para varava. Okay? And somehow it generates spontaneously. Okay? Yeah, we seem to know better nowadays, but that's because we think we're so smart. Okay? sometimes it's good to know that science is wonderful, but, you know, science will one day will catch up with what the Chachamim knew, you know, some 2,000 years ago. So,
I have an interesting opinion from Rabbi Dessler regarding this. He said that things that are not visible to the naked eye,
yes,
you cannot consider.
Correct. In other words, it could be that the halacha, in other words, is only interested in what's observable, an observable reality. I'm familiar, and it definitely appeals to me. So the Gemara says that when it comes to a kina, that doesn't go through the regular process of purivirivya, so therefore there's no chilul Shabbos when you kill it. However, when you talk about larger animals than a louse, right, bugs and insects and animals like that, where they do go through sexual reproduction, so therefore you're going to be chayv if you kill it. Lo lamdu ala me'elim, and the Gemara notes that the machlokis is from elim, because we know why did they kill in the Mishkan, because they needed the hides of the animals in order to lay on top of the Mishkan, so they had to kill the elim. Rabbi Eliezer suffered kelim ma'ilim sheish bem nitilas neshama av kol sheyesh bo nitilas neshama. So just like elim have nitilas neshama, so too any animal that I kill, you're going to be chayev, regardless of the size of the animal, regardless of how the animal reproduces. V'rabban and suffered kelim ma'ilim depar v'rabim av kol depar v'rava, and the chachamim say no. That it's not just, you just don't look at the aisle and say it's an animal, but you also have to look at how it reproduces. Because the aisle reproduces purivirivya, sexual reproduction, so too, only animals that regenerate through that method, through that means, is only going to be chayav. Any animal that doesn't go through this type of reproduction is not subject to the malacha of nitilas neshama. Amalei abayi v'kina ein par v'rava v'amar mar yoshev v'kadosh baruch hu v'zan mekarnei re'emim v'ad beitzei kinim. Gemara notes a statement made Maimer Chazal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure to sustain karnei re'emim to the eggs of kinim. That's interesting because, right, for those of us who remember the days when our kids were checked for lice. So now that they check for the lice, they check for the eggs as well. And over here, the Gemara refers to the beitzei kinim, the eggs of lice. Now, once you're talking about an egg, so you're basically talking about sexual reproduction. So the Gemara says, minehu demikre beitzei kinim. Okay, so there happens to be a species of animal known as beitzei kinim. But we're talking about the actual kinim themselves, the lice themselves. Another species known as beitzei kinim, yes, it's true, they go through sexual reproduction. Kinim is just a species in of itself that does not. V'hatanya tefuye u'beitzei kinim. So the Gemara says again, minu demikre beitzei kinim. Again, another species known as beitzei kinim. V'ayir parush to parav v'rava v'tanya. Now the Gemara notes, what about the parush? We'll translate it as a gnat, right? A small bug. Now the Gemara says, we know that it goes through period of virivia. It's not spontaneous generation, it's sexual reproduction. And meanwhile, we learned on the Braisa. Hatzad parush b'shabbos, Rabbi Elazar mechayv, Rabbi Yoshua poter. that if I trap a parsha on Shabbos, so the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua, whether or not you're chayav on the malach of trapping. So I'm Ravashi. So Ravashi says, slow down. Seda ahariga karamis. That's the malacha of trapping. We're not talking about the malacha of trapping. We're talking about the malacha of killing. Ad kan lo pligi Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yoshua, le demar savar davish enu mimino nitzar chayev, umar savar pater. Yeah, they're arguing about trapping, because do we normally trap gnats? No, we don't normally trap gnats. So if I trap an animal that's not normally trapped, am I going to be chayev or not? That's the machlokus between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. Aval ingin ariga, feel Rabbi Yoshua moda. But once you kill the animal, so then everyone's going to be in agreement that you're going to be chayv on the malacha of killing. Okay, well, we'll stop over here. Let's quickly summarize. Finished today the 13th parak of Shabbos. We talked about trapping the deer. The Gemara tells us that, although generally speaking, anytime you see the word pater means pater of al-asr, three exceptions to the rule. The Mishnah that we started off this morning is one of the exceptions, where one person standing in the door, a second person fills in the same entrance to the doorway, first person leaves, second person's pater umutter. And the two other exceptions throughout Shas, where you're going to be, where even though the Mishnah say pater, it's pater umutter, and that took us to the end of the 13th parak. We started the 14th parak of Shabbos, talked about hitting poor little bugs, and by the Shmona Shrats and by the eight species of bugs that are mentioned in the Torah, because these bugs have a hide, so if you do chavala on them on Shabbos, you're going to be chayv on the malacha of chovel. Chovel is a malacha of what? So I gave you three possibilities. Two within Rashi and one in the Rambam. It's either shchita, tzoveya, or dash. And then the Gemara went on to discuss, is our Mishnah here in Shabbos in agreement with the Mishnah Chulin, meaning is our Mishnah going like Rav Yochanan Menuri, or is our Mishnah also going like the Chachamim? We might spend some time discussing that. Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. And finally, we talked about killing bugs on Shabbos. The Gemara says that you're allowed to kill a kina on Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar disagrees. He says you're not allowed to kill a kina on Shabbos, but that's Rabbi Elazar. He's not the accepted position la halacha. And so you're allowed to kill a kina. And the Gemara, interestingly enough, says because it's not it does not experience period of rivya. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.